Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Speak Flower here live in the living car. Glad you tuned in to check us out so we can talk about these communities that we're supposed to have, but we don't really have communities. Unbelievable, right? What we have is areas that the banks control. And they allow us to stay in these places. They're like staging areas for the bank, so we don't actually have communities. I want to say a group of people coming together, and the definition of community is kind of loose, but a community is when a group of people, and this is my definition, a community is when a group of people control everything in the area. Food, clothing, shelter, security, all that stuff. They control everything. All the property, who gets in, who can rent. Then we're talking about a community. Other than that, we're talking about a staging area that the 1% use to get paid. And they do it over and over, and they're constantly getting paid. Oh, I don't know what they're doing. You can't blame them. Like, take this shift, dance, everybody's here. I don't want them out there. Seem like they don't know about my vocabulary. I'm kind of pretty beat up today, so we might not go for a whole hour, but we're going to go as long as we can here, okay? Now, you have 90 years. That's how long the cycle is, that each family uses, you know, because if, Oh boy. This is going to be a very interesting talk today. We're talking about communities, and the 1% is not personal. They make sure that nobody actually has a community. They make sure that the areas are what we call staging areas, so that the 1% can flip the property whenever they want to. Keep that money going, because whether they have a full while after 30 days, the property, everything shuts down. After 30 years, the people that bought the first mortgage, they're a million. So,
yeah.
After they after they're there for 30 years, all the mortgages are paid. The banks need to make money on the area. So they change the zoning laws, move the cops around, and bring on different kinds of people in the area so that the people, so the property value starts to go down. And, you know, you're paying X amount of dollars for a property. And once the property values start going down because the neighborhood changes, then you're ready to move to another area. And after 30 years, in most cases, the parents are dying and the children are taking over. And in most of the property, the way they have it set up, you buy the property based on your income and the job that you have. And when you pass it down to the children, they don't have the same job or income that you have. It's hard for them to keep the property, you know. So this is how a lot of the children are losing the property. And all this is by design because the 1% systematically don't want you to pass your wealth down because they don't want the children to blow up because there's only so much room at the top, you know. So they have to maintain a certain level if they're going to maintain their status quo. So in reality, you actually don't have communities. You have staging areas that the 1% use to flip and make money. And that's basically what's been going on. And this is how the areas work in this country, you know. So if you do own a home, now also if you want to get into the conversation, you can press 1 on your dial. And if you have something to say about property and communities and things of that nature, based on what I'm talking about, because we really think that when there's a lot of black people in the area, that's a black community. Or when there's a lot of white folks in the area, that's a white community. That's not true. They keep certain areas with mostly whites and mostly white blacks. But the system that they're using is the same in reference to how they're flipping the properties. So, and they don't care. With the 1%, see, the racism is basically a hype. They need slaves to do the work, the workforce and all that. $15 an hour, that's a slave. You know, you're really working for just enough money to keep the bills paid, keep the lights on. And this is how they like it because they're able to, they need you to spend every dime that you make. They don't want you to really save with no money. And if you're not living from paycheck to paycheck, let's say if you got maybe a month or 2 months worth of money in the bank, well, that's a problem for them because they want that money. They need that money in order to maintain those private schools, jet planes, and all that stuff that they're using for their children to go to these private schools so they can keep the class system going. They have a class system here in this country. And that's why they talk about the middle class. Now, white folks feel pretty good because they pump most of the Europeans up into the middle class. So it makes them think that they're doing better than everybody else. But they're really not. They just we're going on a bus trip next Sunday to a Malcolm X memorial. And one thing that Malcolm X said, he said that we have few hands to house niggas, you know. And the upper middle class, they're basically the house niggas, you know. They feel like they're doing better and because they can buy their new car, they can buy the new gadgets and stuff for the house and everything, but they live from paycheck to paycheck. They lose their job within 2 months, they're on the street, you know. And in fact, I know a friend of mine who lost his job and his house and everything else that he had bought because he couldn't maintain the mortgage that was on the property, you know. So they have, it's a very serious system in the way they have things going, the way they are working this thing to keep themselves paid. And basically, we don't know how to get into the real estate market because we think that we need to buy those $200,000 homes, and that's not true if you're going to be making that money. Foreclosure sales here, you can buy property for $5,000, $6,000. I got a few of them, so I know. And you can fix them up, flip them, or you can rent them out. And that way you can have some residual income coming in. But the best place to buy the property is in the worst neighborhoods that the city has. If you're a real estate developer, if you're interested in making money on real estate, because if you move into some of these really, really bad areas, they have to rent from somebody, you know, and because they don't, they haven't saved enough money to purchase, and they don't know how to take a little $5,000-$6,000, go down and bid on a foreclosure or a short sale house. They really don't know the system. They don't know how to do that. All they know if they get a room, get an apartment, go to work, pay a little rent every month, and this is how they live. This is how they've been programmed to live on a daily basis. Now, on the upper middle class, it's a little different because they pay more for the property that they're renting. I got property in this area here, $1,400-$1,500 a month for rent, and they're paying it. It's unbelievable. We're 2 months in. 2 months rent, 1 month security at $1,500 a month. They come up with the money to rent these places. The places are laid out. They look really nice. They're brand new places and stuff. But it don't make sense because that rental money that you're spending, you do not get that back. That's just gone. Once you spend that money, it's out. And it's just money that just goes away. However, if you bought the property, excuse me, after a while living there, you create what they call escrow into the property, and you can sell the property and get some of your money back. But the word renting, you don't get nothing. That money is just absolutely gone. Okay, and if we're going to deal with having our own communities, all right, then we have to learn how to go into these areas, buy everything, one house at a time. If you watch the, they give you some kind of hints about the stuff on some of these TV shows that they've had, like Archibunker for Six, for instance. When George Jefferson was trying to move into the neighborhood, they call that neighborhood busting, because once blacks move in, they're in the process of bringing the neighborhood down because they want these people to move out of there. I'm talking about the white folks that are in there that's been there for 20, 30 years. They want them out because they're not making the money off them anymore. So they break the neighborhood down. But if you notice that, if you want to start the show, Archibunker, they got together, their little group got together and decided who they wanted to sell the house to. They didn't want no blacks in the area at the time, you know, because they want the house, the area, exclusively for mostly whites. And because they thought, they were thinking that they're in a better situation than other people, but they're not. You know, it just seems better, but it's not better. They're really in a bad situation, you know. And like I said, I have to apologize on Mother's Day because I'm going to be here for the whole hour. I have 1927 on the line. I appreciate them calling in right about now. We normally get into a little commercial here, but I don't have the commercial up either. So I'm going to let 1929 tell you a little bit about his show. And then we're going to talk just a little bit more about why we don't have communities. And then we're going to call it a night, okay? And we'll get together next Sunday, okay? So let me see if I can get the mic working here. 1929, Brother Mac, you're on the air. How you feel today, brother?
Hey, buddy, buddy. Good evening, sir. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm thinking about having another baby, but my stomach is not. My stomach is still getting too good. But
it's all right, brother. We got through the day, and we're into the evening, and. It sounds like you put a lot of effort into getting through this day, but thank you so much for recognizing, for acknowledging me, and allow me to tell your audience about my show, which is Legacy of a Nation, which is on every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. until 7. And we talk over the course of the month, we talk on four main topics. The four main topics that we cover over the month are health, which was this week, just yesterday, and next Saturday will be history, and following that will be politics, and following that will be economics, and so over the course of the month we cover those four main topics, and with a slant toward how we Aborigines are affected by each of them. We talk about health as it affects us. When I say us, I mean we who are descendants of slaves. And we talk about history as it pertains to our story. Our story is different from his story. His story is the story that is told by the conqueror. And since we are the vanquished, we have to tell our story. And so at Legacy of a Nation, we attempt to tell our story so that our young people and our not-so-young people can know the truth of how we got to be the way that we are, which is more or less under the thumb of the Europeans who have made war on us and under whom we are until this very day. And so economically, just as you, Brother Elohim, touched on the economics of home ownership versus renting, we talk about ways of producing economics, with economics being defined as having other people work and paying you rather than you working and paying it all out as we have always done. And so politically, we talk about the laws and the edicts and the statutes that have been made, some specifically to keep us, let's say, underfoot. We talk about the criminal justice system that is designed to corral the men who are descended from slaves, and the prison industrial complex is replacing the public school system, and the public school system is designed to produce inmates for the prison industrial complex. So we talk about these things as they pertain to us, and so our mantra is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And we contend that we are Aborigines in that our ancestors were already here when the Europeans came in 1492, 500 years ago. We were already here. Some of us were brought from Africa, as they said, by way of the Atlantic slave trade, but there were millions of us who were already here. And we don't know what has been done to us in hiding our true identity. And they have us fighting among ourselves and in competition with our very selves, rather, with little chance of uniting as long as we don't know who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. And so the number to call into my show is 319-527-6199. That's the studio number, and you can call in anonymously, and that we don't we don't identify you by your name, even though you can identify yourself if you choose to, but we identify you when you raise your hand to speak by the last four numbers of your telephone number, giving you the opportunity to say or ask whatever you choose and not be recognized unless you want to give your name or let everybody know who you are. There's a bonus for letting you talk. Thank you for the opportunity, and you may have your show back, sir. Thank you so much.
I believe the show comes on Saturday at 6 o'clock. I'm going to mention the time for the show. It's called Legacy Information. That's every Saturday, 6 o'clock, and so on. So you can become aware of what's going on. And today's topic is: do we actually have communities? And the same thing that referenced to, if you want to get on a conversation, or if you have a company or something that you want to acknowledge and give us a little bit of information about, you can just press 1. And that will let me know that we're on that that you have something to say, that you want to get involved in the conversation. And once you do that, I'll call out the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that will let you know that I know that you do have something to say and that you're on the air. And normally when you press 1, I bring you in right away. So when you press 1, if you're not ready to talk, you know what I mean? I don't have you wait too long. Now we have 5785 who's press 1. Let's see. 5785, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or a statement, or do you have a business or something that you want to talk about right quick?
Oh, okay. Well, greetings. No, I don't. I just want to make a quick comment. You know, but with the question, as I understand it, which is, do we have communities? And it just seems to me that our communities have certainly been, as I've experienced it, cracked out and cracked up, based on the generation that I come from. After crack hit the scene, that really pretty much destroyed the communities that we did still have in place. And, you know, I heard the brother when I came back on the line, you know, just talking about some of the things that's happened to our communities, and you've talked about some of the things that's happened in terms of how the system has worked to destroy the African community. And, you know, as I see it and recognize it, it's like the things that were done to us, which were very traumatic events and very traumatic and traumatizing activities that has been done to us, and which we have sort of learned to practice in order to survive in the societal system that we have been enslaved to. As a result of that, and as a result of all of the mass programming, you know, reprogramming of our culture and who we are as a people and how we behave, those things have been sort of stripped from our memory and our ability to practice those things, so much so that when those of us who are waking up and working to practice our true cultural values are doing so in a societal system, not communities, because there are not a whole lot of folks who are awake and aware of our cultural practices and work to practice them. Because working to practice them in this societal system seems to lead to more trauma, you know, more hurt and harming by other people because of the fact that we are now sort of really turned backwards as it relates to, you know, having a community and having a culture of our own that we practice. Because like I said, you know, when we practice our cultural values, or at least when I practice the cultural values that I see and have regained and have recovered and learned about and worked to live, doing so, it's like being a angel here in hell, because you know, our practices is communal and collective and working together, and most of our people have been taught to compete with each other, and everything is about competition and getting more. So it's like, no, we don't have communities. Our community got cracked up during the crack era, and it seems like we're working to kind of reformulate them, yet there's nothing that's in place now. And from where I'm at, from my position, coming from where I'm from, it took hundreds and hundreds of years to get us to this place, and it seems that it's likely to take, you know, a good little bit of time for us to, you know, regain our sense of culture and be able to practice it safely, because we have no true communities. There is no more community. You know, societal level stuff dictates individual behaviors, and there's no buffer. There's no community anymore to sort of buffer that. And families, individuals and families, we're just taught to compete with each other, and that seems to be where people are comfortably situated, with competing to get more for self.
Well, I agree to 100%, and basically that's what's going on. That's the gist of why I decided to have this particular Bible, because the way the European has set this system up, there are no actual communities, only staging areas so that the 1% can get paid. All of the areas that we're living in right now are flipped every 60 to 90 years, because after 30 years, all the mortgages are paid, and then the banks need to flip the area in order to make more money. Mm-hmm. So there's a transition of people, whether they be they're from the upper middle class to the lower middle class to the actual people who can barely afford to live in the area. And as they make those transitions, the property value goes down, and the people move out, and the banks resell, like now they're getting paid. Now we have another hand up. I don't let people wait. I'm leaving your mic open, so if you want to jump back in, just go ahead, okay? We have 8638 on the line, has their hand up. Let's see if we can get that mic over. 8638, you're on the line. You have a comment or a statement that you'd like to make, or if you have a business or something that you'd like to give a shout out about. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good evening, dear brother. I appreciate this opportunity. I'd like to do both. However, my business is Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We are a full-service security and protection company, armed guards, bodyguards, PIs, all of that, African-American-owned company. So I'd like to say that. And then, secondly, I'd like to just chime in on all that has been said, and everybody's correct. I think a lot of times we carry the analysis. The white man has done this, the system has done that. And so it seems like we know the problem, we know the challenges, but we have not sat down as a collective to come up with the solutions that work best for us. Now, white folk do that. We know what they do. We've articulated what they do throughout the night. We know what they did to us. We know what they do in the school system. We know that the school system, the judicial system, religious systems are not developmental nor positive for us. We know these things. So since we know it, we must now, if we're an intelligent African-Americans, African people throughout the diaspora, we must then craft a solution for us. and pull the various groups, it doesn't matter what group it is, what your religion is, if you're black in this country, we need to have a big sit down. And let's focus on 5 or 6 different areas. Our financing is one, our education is another, and stay away from the religious part. We must be wise enough to unite and recognize the common enemies, all right? And not just the Caucasian and that kind of thing, but the common enemies in terms of our lack of knowledge, our lack of love, our lack of unity. And see, if we can close those gaps, we'll go a long way. I think Dr. Claude Anderson has it, and I've heard him say it very well, when he talked about and clearly delineates all of the ills and the challenges that the system has posed, educationally and political system. We've carried the analysis. Now let us begin to craft a solution and be unapologetic for crafting a solution for the black man, woman, and children in America and throughout the diaspora. And that's all I want to share. I would love to. You know, I thought about how could this be done? Where do we start? What organization? But we really need, because that is the solution. We spend our money in our banks. We support our schools, support our so on and so forth, businesses. And we got to get away from this mentality that we've learned through our sojourn in America. So I'll just leave it there, brother. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Could you give the number out again to the security company that you have?
Yes, sir. I'll give you both the 800 numbers, toll-free, 888-476-6388. 888-476-6388. And then locally in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, it is 336-854-8038.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you chiming in and giving your thoughts on the subject that we have for today. And once again, for those who are on the line, if you have a comment or you want to do something, just press 1. And that'll let me know that you're on the line. Now, I'm going to leave those that have talked, your mic is open, so if you want to jump in at any time, you can just jump back in. You're absolutely right about the about what's going on. Now, if each individual can start, we can start as a group, but I work from an I point of view, and if you want to start, we can look for the worst, raggediest neighborhood in the country, okay? Sheriff sale, foreclosure, and start buying property, and don't sell. Just buy house after house, building after building, until we own the entire area. Once we own the entire area, then we can literally control what goes on in the area. You're dealing with the police department. You're dealing with the schools. You're dealing with everything. If you begin to own the property in the area, now they have a way of making us flip. Now, I have one area that the property was $200 a year for taxes, and it went up to almost $6,000 a year in taxes. And if you've been living in the area for a long time and you're making $15,000, $20,000 a year, and your property goes up $6,000. That's a lot. That's enough to cause you to think about selling out and moving, because the property value goes up, and they want you out of the area because they're not making the money they should be making off the property. So by controlling the taxes on the property, that's another way to get them to get the people to move out that can't afford to stay there no more. And they can flip the area because the banks actually own the areas. We actually do not have. Now, I know we're coming from a white and black perspective, but the white folks don't own their communities either. The same system they run on us, they're running on them. But they're running on them in a different level because they keep them, most of them, they try to keep as many of them as possible up in the upper middle class bracket. So they don't, because somebody's got to buy these $150,000, $200,000 houses when they flip an area. I bought property in the area for $5,000. The same property right across the street, they just sold for $180,000. I mean, they're flipping the area, building new apartment complexes and everything else in here. So somebody has to be able to pay to move in. So this is how they keep things going. And they have the white folks thinking that they're doing better because they can afford these expensive properties, well, so-called expensive properties. And so they think, well, this is white, my country, but they're running the same game on everybody, you know. And based on the news media and what they're doing, they made it seem like one group is being more disenfranchised than the other. And in actuality, it's actually not. You know, when you really get into the statistics, they're running the same game on, and I'm talking about the 1%, and they come in all colors, trust me. You know, you got black, white, green, pink, 1%, they're here. And they have one thing on their mind, and that's their bottom line. They don't care who they screw or what happens, because they're functioning under the dog-eat-dog culture. That's what this culture is. This is not our Black's natural culture is a read-what-you-sow culture. That's in all the books they tell you about. You read what you sow, goes around, comes around. You know, this is how we were raised in our culture, you know, and they don't want us to go back to that culture, because if we go back to our read-what-you-sow culture, when one of our children gets shot in the street, we don't go after the parents. We go after their children. That's read what you sow. That's making you pay. We don't be walking around with picket signs or talking about we want some kind of justice. No, we go get the justice. That's how read what you sow culture works. They don't want us back in our natural culture because they wouldn't be able to do the stuff that they're doing to us right now and get away with it, you know? Under the dog and dog culture, if you think about this, when they came here with the Indians, it was actually us, I was talking about earlier, but we didn't aware that we were already here. When they came here, they didn't come here with no picket signs. They came here with muskets loaded, ready to kill. They come here with biological weapons, whatever they did, to hit the area. It wasn't about asking nobody for nothing. They could just take what they want. And this is one of the mistakes that we made as a slow journey on the planet, that we get to a point with so conscious and so religious that we don't really want to get involved in that type of thing. But you have to have a war machine to protect yourself from those that are functioning under the dog-eat-dog culture. Because they're coming. They're always coming. And you always have to be ready for these guys when they do come. Once again, I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are on the line and to those that are listening. I want to thank you very much for calling in. I don't have my commercial up. It's been a long day for me, and I'm a little burnt out, so I don't have my commercial up. But I will mention some of the things to those I'm getting some kind of noise on one.
Somebody might need to be muted. It's hard to hear you. It's hard to hear you. Somebody's mic needs to be muted or something.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
Better.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we as a group, you know, have to think in terms of what can I do personally to change this. That's where your solutions come from. If you can think of a solution personally, to begin working out a process, that process you can transfer to your children. And if you think in terms of, well, I consider myself a God, and a God's responsibility to take care 6 billion people or more, because you have to take care of everybody. This is how, like, we complain about Monsanto, but they're feeding millions of people because they know who they are. They know they have to feed these people. They have to protect these people. That's why they need tanks and planes and bombs, because they're protecting millions of people. That's what God does. You know what I'm saying? We don't function like that because they have us function under the intermediary concept where we're looking for a savior rather than saving ourselves. We're trying to find somebody else to save us for us. That don't work. You know, you have to put yourself in the driver's seat. You have to take control of the car. I think Roosevelt said that some black rider riding on a white horse, but he sleeps. And the horse is riding around doing whatever he wants. And they're worried about this black rider waking up, taking the reins of the horse to make this horse go where it's supposed to go. You have to be in control. And that control starts with you as an individual. Mm-hmm. Then we can work as a group. We can't work as a group if the individuals are not aware and not prepared to go the long distance, because this is a generational war. It took the Europeans 800 years to get out from under black rule, you know? I mean, the Moors, Turks, I mean, we were on the planet for a long time, coming out of Africa, the Sudanese. We had trade going back and forth. We had armadas. We ruled the seas, every doggone thing. This, it took them a long time to get to the point that they can build the type of war machine to come and even challenge what we had. You know, it took them a long time. They attacked the Americas 5 times and got their butt kicked. The last one they got his butt kicked was their greatest general, that was Napoleon. This is when everything really began to flip, because after they knocked off, after he came in, I'm thinking, T. St. Laurent Overture, I think that was his name, the brother's name from Haiti. But they didn't just attack Haiti. They don't give you the real history. The Americas was from Haiti all the way down through Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, some of the other countries. That was the Americas, okay? They didn't even change the name. They just called the United States of America. But the wasn't America Vespucci, wasn't this guy Christopher Columbus. None of those guys was responsible for the name America. That goes all the way back to the Lemurians, which was before which was before Atlanta, coming off of Mars. You can Google this stuff. The information is out there. I'm just dropping little tidbits out there. And if you want to find out more about this information, check out Brother Horace Butler. He got a book out called When Rocks Cry Out. This brother understands history, and he has proof to back up everything he's saying about you being aware that you are already here. We had Olympics. They have Olympic stadiums. They had cities that was here when these guys got here. You know what I mean? Cities. They're not telling you this. It's like Chicago. The sister that played on Good Times, her great-great-grandfather started Chicago, or what might be great-great-great now, but I don't know how many years back it was. But he started Chicago. When they came here, everybody wasn't living in a tent, but walking around with a loincloth on. That's just the history they're giving you, but that's not how it actually was. That's why it took them a little while to conquer the area. They had to make peace treaties, which was lies, and they lied and manipulated everything to get the area because you can't believe two words that come out of their mouth. They know that they can't believe each other. That's why they have the contracts and the lawyers and everything, because they know when they're dealing with each other, they're dealing with a bunch of liars. This is why Trump getting over. They know he's a habitual liar, but they all are. So, well, I shouldn't say they all of them, because you can't lump everybody in one basket, but the 1%, lying, conniving, scheming crooks, that's what they are. And when you're dealing with them, that's what you're dealing with. You don't dot an I across a T, they'll take everything you got, and they feel justified. Well, you should have played the game better. That's how they roll. Once again, the mics are open. You can just jump in. You can interrupt me. I'm a talk show host, so I'm used to talking for 4 hours straight. So if you got a comment, you can just jump in, because I left your mics open, okay? But just remember that this is a 90-day cycle, and this is a generational battle. You have to prepare your children to get into this battle. And we have to deal with politics. I know Bubba didn't mention religion, but the spirituality is very important, because that's who the I is. That I is your spirit, that inner power that gives you the ability to make this little physical slave that you're in control of get up and do what it's supposed to do. Stop drinking, stop smoking, stop getting high, start studying, start learning things. Leave the flesh alone. You know, if we're dealing with the Bible, it tells you we're not supposed to be eating flesh. We're supposed to be eating meat. Oh, wait a minute. Meat is not flesh. No, meat is not flesh. Meat is herb and plants and vegetables. That's what meat is. They flipped it around, calling flesh meat when flesh is flesh. And the vegetables that you're supposed to be eating, That's your meat. It's right in Genesis. You know what I mean? They're manipulating everything, including our great works. And the Bible was one of the greatest books that your ancestors made for you, because the solutions to the problems that you're having right now is in the book. We just don't know how to read it. You follow what I'm saying? Every book in the Bible was written by your black ancestors. It's not a religious book. It's a history book with solutions to your problems. You got one aeronautical engineer out of Ezekiel. He got 65 different patents on aeronautical stuff out of the book of Ezekiel. He knows how to read the book. Now, you know, at one time it was against the law, and you would be put to death. If you was a white person, you would be put to death to teach a slave how to read the book. Now, when we came here, we were not illiterate. We just didn't know how to read the scribble that they had. But we could read, we could write, we could do every doggone thing. You know, some of us spoke multiple languages when they stole us and brought us here. So I'm just saying, like Brother was saying earlier, 1927, Brother Max, he was telling us that history has to be rewritten. Their story and our story is two different stories, and we have to get that together, okay? Now, we got about 5 more minutes here. I'm going to mention, we didn't do the commercial. I don't have the commercial up because I'm running kind of slow today. I had a lot on my plate for today. But I would like to mention some of the names of the people that I normally give a commercial about. We got Antiola's. I appreciate her because she's allowing the UNIA under Marcus Garvey 121 to have meetings out of her restaurant, which we want to thank her for that. It's on 48th and Spruce. It's a vegetarian restaurant. So if you get a chance, go in and get a meal and give us some support. Also, we have a Teletouch Learning Academy. I'm just throwing a name out there. You can Google it up. You know, it's a learning center, and she's very good at it. She's a nurse. she's in school to become a gynecologist, but she's opening up Teletouch Learning Academy. And we also have the Legacy of a Nation that comes on Saturday. Brother was on, he just gave that information out. I'm here on Sunday, which is Elohim Speaks. I come on from 8 to 9. I'm also here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On Monday, we have the Spiritual Show, which is the Radical Church of Christ and Allah. What? How you mention Christ and Allah in the same breath? Tune in on Monday, and I'll tell you what that's all about. And on Tuesday, we have Carabars, where we deal with selling gold, trying to make money on the exchange market, dealing with the gold and bitcoins and all that. And on Wednesday, we have news, black news. So we give you some information about what's going on in the UNIA, up from Marcus Garvey 100 years ago, what's going on and things of that nature, okay? And we have Tammy, that's Will Smith's sister. She has a spoken word. We have our sister, Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. Normally, I do all these commercials. We got Dr. Paul, Dr. Bill, you know, and I have to give everybody numbers and everything. But like I said, it's been a long day, and I don't have the other laptop up. I only have the one laptop up today. So once again, I want to wish everybody happy Mother's Day, and I want to thank you so much for calling in. Now, we have 3 minutes left. Those of you who had the businesses, if you want to mention a name of your business again and give us the way to contact the business, please. We're going to open the mic. Your mic's already open, so we're going to start with 1929. You want to just give us a brief number and everything about your show. He just talks the whole through. He like me. Once he gets started, boy, he can go for a couple hours. Brother Mac, you want to tell us just briefly about your show on Saturday again?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Elohim. Legacy of a Nation comes on every Saturday, regardless of the weather or the political condition. And the show is from 6 to 7 p.m. every Saturday, and the number is 319-527-6199. And next Saturday, the main topic is history. We're going to talk about history as it pertains to we Aborigines. we who have descended from slaves. Thank you, Brother Elohim, for the opportunity.
You have a business now. I know 5785 didn't mention she had a business, but she gave us a mouthful. So if you want to mention to give us the call in number for your business again right quick, that would be 8638, and then we'll let Sip have the last word. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. It's and we're going to do this. I'm going to offer a 15% discount in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. Particularly, I have the authority to do that. For anyone that needs armed guard services, bodyguard services, corporation, your business, feel free to give us a call, 888-476-6388. Once again, 888-476-6388. We are a fully licensed and insured security patrol company. Secondly, before I go, I would be remiss if I did not mention, as we all know, the 22 African states have ratified the free trade agreement in Africa, which is a good thing. Now they can move themselves from state to state.
We only have about 30 more seconds here. You sure you got to talk to the host?
But I'll tell you this. The African African Brain Bank, look it up. Like to have you on the call Tuesday at 7 p.m. African Brain Bank. Call me if you need further information about that.
Well, thank you very much, brother. We appreciate that. And I think 8638. That's what we're talking to now. I think we are social narcissists, but it's okay. We only got about 10 months left. Yeah, we got about 10 seconds left. This is Elohim Speaks. Thank you for calling in. Happy Mother's Day. And the call-in number here is 516-453-9230. And we're here every Sunday from 8 to 9. So you have a blessed day, and we'll talk to you again next week. Much love.
Much love.